Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, a variety talk show whose only mission is to empower you.
That we're only gonna bring this to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of sent this home to her right from the beginning, that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in today. I have a special guest. She is a nationally renowned education expert and award-winning author with an expertise in children's education and mom entrepreneurship. She is the co-author of the award-winning and state-approved Let's Get Ready series, which I have with me. She's a principal and consultant for Mom Central Consulting and the VP of Mother Talk, where she specializes in virtual, grassroots, and word-of-mouth marketing to brands, businesses, authors, and publishers. She's also the founder and CEO of two publishing companies, Cedar Valley Publishing and Stacy Cannonberg Unlimited. Stacy Cannonberg is an author, publisher, speaker, motivator, consultant, blogger, spokesperson, wife, and mom of two. Wow. Good morning.
Good morning. That is a mouthful. It really, really is. And now I wonder why I'm so tired all the time.
Wow. Thank you and welcome thank you so much for joining us today, Stacy.
It's a pleasure to be here, Yvonne. I love talking about my passions, and my passions are my companies and helping other families with education and starting businesses and following their passion. And so I've got all kinds of different things I love to talk about.
Wow. You have four companies that you run. Could you briefly, and I kind of touched on it in the introduction, but could you briefly tell us a little bit about each company?
Absolutely. Cedar Valley Publishing is the first company I started in 2004. I started it with another partner who was another stay-at-home mom, and once we started exploding, she decided she wanted to be a mom again rather than running this global educational company. So Cedar Valley Publishing, we released Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten, Let's Get Ready for First Grade. I'm working on Let's Get Ready for Second Grade, and I will be releasing next month the Spanish-English version of Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten. And those books are really just to help kids and schools and parents get ready for school, get ready for that first year. They're very you've got them. They're fun little books to help kids. And the surprising thing, they're used by schools across the country. And then Stacy Cannonberg Unlimited was another publishing company that I started because I had a lot of requests from my friends that wanted to publish books, and I didn't really know how to go about it. So it's really an imprint of Cedar Valley Publishing, and I've released two books by parenting guru Jody Lynn, who is a national radio platform as well as a column that's syndicated nationwide talking about parenting issues. So she has a book, Mom CEO, Chief Everything Officer, Having, Doing It, Surviving It All. And then she has another book called Syndication Secrets, which I was excited about because a lot of people want to know, they're writers, they're in the parenting space, they want to know how to get their work syndicated. So Jody wrote this book, and I published it under the Stacy Cannonberg Unlimited brand, as well as I'm coming out with two new books this year, Mommy, Where Are You? And Daddy, Where Are You? That are written by Barb Rockaway to help children who've lost a parent. So they're books to really kind of bring it down to the child's level. Like if every time you're looking for daddy, you got to find him in different ways because he's now in heaven. So every time mommy's lips kiss yours, daddy's lips are there too. So just simple ways for children to kind of find their deceased father or mother in a new way.
Wow.
And then Mom Central Consulting is the brainchild of Stacey DeBroff, who is, oh my gosh, she is the parenting guru. She's a regular on the Today Show. She has got this amazing consulting company where she helps brands reach moms. So because I started my company with viral grassroots marketing without much money, and I learned how to do all these free sites and how to spread the word through word of mouth, she had hired me as one of her principals to help businesses, especially the large brands, reach mom. And then she has another company, Mother Talk, where we help the small entrepreneurs, which is my total niche. I love talking to new business owners or small companies, new authors, and show them how to take some of the information that I've learned through consulting and through blog tours and really get the message out about their products.
Wow. Wow. Out of curiosity, with so much going on, you have so many different companies and things that you're doing, what is your passion?
You know what? That is such a great question. I'm so glad you asked that because what my passion has become is helping other people. I wrote the books to help my own kids get ready for kindergarten, and then I realized I was helping parents all across the country as well as teachers. And now with Mother Talk and Mom Central Consulting, I can help other big, huge brands that, you know, to me, you know, the Kellogg's and General Mills and the Scholastics of the world that I'd always thought were like, they're now, I'm helping them reach mom through viral grassroots messaging because let's face it, moms are turning out advertising. We just don't see it anymore. I really don't.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last ad I actually remember watching. I know the Super Bowl ads, I can remember a couple from that, but for the most part, there's only a few that still stick out in my mind that I kind of laugh when I see, but you know, my kids will look at the TV and say, Mom, did you see that ad? And I'm staring at the TV, but there's so many things going on in my head, I didn't even see the ad.
Yeah.
And they're
yeah.
like, Mom, this is a great product. We need to check it out. And I'm like, you know, didn't even see it.
Yeah.
What was it again for? You know, how bad is that? But I know I'm not alone. And then, you know, through all of this, the central theme is helping others, empowering others to find their passion and follow their dream. Because this has been such a, people fall into my lap all the time. I can be sitting with them, you know, on a plane ride, or somebody will call me out of the blue and say, I don't know why I'm calling you, but I Googled and your name came up first, and I've got this idea, maybe you can help me. And now some of these people have become really great friends, and they've got wonderful companies, and so I really love to give back and help other people.
That's amazing. And I have so many questions I want to ask. First, you have the series, Let's Get Ready books, which I have Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten and Let's Get Ready for First Grade. I understand that you were inspired by a series of Oprah shows to create your books. How did you take it from concept to what the reality of having the actual books?
You gotta love Oprah. Seriously, it was
yeah.
a series of Oprah shows. She had a show on The Walking Buddies, and that's how I hooked up with my neighbor lady that became my business partner. I didn't know her, but Oprah had a show called The Walking Buddies Show, and Oprah said, call your tall, thin neighbor. So I picked up the phone, and I said, you know, hi, Linda, you don't know me, but I was just watching Oprah. And she's like, yeah, The Walking Buddies Show. And I said, yeah. She said, call your tall, thin neighbor. So I am. Would you like to start walking? And her daughters were 3 and 5, and mine were 1 and 3. So all that walking, we'd walk on Cedar Valley Road and talk about her daughter's kindergarten classroom. And when she started to tell me about high-frequency words and positional words and sight words and skip counting, I was just like, what are you talking about? And she's like, Stacy, this is the new language of kindergarten. And I was – shocked. I didn't know what any of those things were. You know, a position, a word, it's just up, over, down, you know, just a way to tell somebody where something's located. But, okay, I knew that, but I didn't know it as termed the positional word. And so, really, I started talking to other of my playgroup moms, and I found a need that I wasn't the only one that was a little overwhelmed. And test scores, 38 states were talking about all day four-year-old kindergarten because kids weren't coming to school. And then Oprah had the Big Dream Show, where she was looking for those ideas, and we were walking one day on Cedar Valley Road, and I said, Linda, I wish I had an idea for Oprah's Big Dream Contest. And she kind of did one of those Seinfeld moments where she did the Elaine, where she's like, what about that kindergarten book you can't find? You know, one book for every grade that helps parents, kids, and teachers all get ready for school and all be on the same page. And the minute it popped out of her mouth, I dragged her kicking and screaming every step of the way. And ironically, then Oprah had the Mom CEO show, where they talked about all these amazing companies and these millionaire moms. And then Oprah had a show on self-publishing. So she kind of showed me how to do it with that show. And then she went to Africa. And so I think I knew before Oprah that she was going to open a school, because I'm screaming at the TV, open a school! Open a school! And, you know, it was just kind of one of those things where I wanted to, you know, she's talking about kids don't want dolls. They want books with their pictures in it. And kids want, you know, they need to be durable to withstand the huts. And so that's why my books have pictures of global characters, so anywhere, anyway, some child can pick up the book and open it and see somebody that looks like them or is them. It looks very similar to them.
Yeah.
And then they also are made of dry erased material, so that they're a little bit more durable to withstand even the huts of Africa. So that was an idea specifically generated from a series of Oprah shows. And really, once I saw the Mom CEO show, I started outreaching to other authors, going, okay, how did you do this? And I was put in touch with Dan Pointer, who is the Oprah of self-publishing, and Jerry Simons, all these really amazing authors and publishers that, you know, there's all kinds of great stuff out there. So I kind of picked up the phone and developed a network amongst people that I wanted to be like.
Wow. And 'cause you share the strategy as you thought about the idea before you even spent a dime. How did you strategize getting this done?
That is such a great question. Most people forget about this. This is the most important aspect of starting a business, and this has been the absolute key to my success. Before I ever spent even a dime, I did all the research. There's so much with the internet today. You can Google anything. You know, you can Google, you know, kindergarten resources, and even just putting in the word kindergarten, something like, you know, 30, you know, million sites come up. So it's like, okay, there's a lot of interest in kindergarten. How am I going to create something that's different? Well, I had already known that there wasn't really a book that had the curriculum in it that you read over and over like a book, like Goodnight Room. I couldn't find another book that's just, you know, some teachers will look at this and say, Stacy, this is way too advanced for a preschooler. But I'm like, no, you just read it like a book over and over and over. Let them, many times the kids will grab the book right out of your hand and start telling you the pages they know. And then you know the pages that they skip. It's like, okay, he needs to know that. But most parents don't know that your kids are tested on the alphabet all mixed up, the numbers to 10 all mixed up, you know, basic shapes, colors, coins. We all think they're going to swallow the coins, but they're tested on that within the first few weeks of kindergarten, as well as counting objects to 10 and how far they can count to 100. So when you go to that first parent-teacher conference, you're sitting down with the kids and the parents and the teacher's saying, your child only knew 5 of 26 letters all mixed up. And talking to my parents that have gone through it, they're like, well, why didn't you tell me that during kindergarten roundup? If you knew you were going to test them on it, why didn't you tell me that? So before I had ever spent a dime, I really decided that my niche was going to be to develop this book that was going to be the resource that was going to be like the Goodnight Moon of kindergarten that you just read over and over and over and over, that it was going to be geared for younger kids, 2 to 6, so that by the time they got to kindergarten, it wasn't that they had to master these concepts, it's just that they were familiar with them, just like they were familiar with Five Little Monkeys Jumping on the Bed, or just like they were familiar with, you know, Goodnight Moon and, you know, Goodnight Gorilla, all of the famous classic books that you you think of when you think of reading to kids. So I wanted it just to be another classic, and I never really saw anything like that. So my marketing was going to be through word of mouth. Okay, I could go out and ask people, everybody knows a teacher, can you share this book with your teacher friend? So whenever somebody made a purchase with me, I'd email them back and say, could you share this book with a teacher? Let them know it exists. And, you know, everybody knows a teacher. So that's how it kind of took off like wildfire. So before I'd ever spent a dime, I already had my whole business plan, my whole strategy. My first press run was 3,000 books. I didn't spend the money to put an ISBN number on the back of the book, which is in order to be sold in all of the major retailers, it needs a special number on the back of the book called an ISBN number. Every book that's sold has to have that number. Well, I wasn't sure it was going to work, so before I ever did it, I decided to just print 3,000, and my goal was to sell it to schools, and it worked, and I got some media, and within my local media here in Milwaukee put me on TV, and the next thing I know, Barnes & Noble's calling me going, we've had 350 phone calls. You better get an ISBN number. Get this in our system. And so, I mean, it was kind of like, wow, I did it backwards, but they're calling me. And they were actually referring people to the Little Red Bookstore around the corner because Barnes & Noble couldn't carry the book, but they'd gotten so many phone calls. So I knew we had a market, and then it was kind of like I went in it with baby steps, but then I kind of had my whole business plan, and I knew I wanted to develop a brand. So the most important thing was to kind of create an online presence for my company.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I wanted to before we move on, I wanted to say I do have both books, Get Ready for Kindergarten and Get Ready for First Grade. And I think they are awesome. They and I didn't. I have a older son that's 15, and when he got ready to go into kindergarten, so much had changed since I was in kindergarten. You know, all I knew was remember was nap time and recess. But they do. It's almost like they moved them up a grade.
Oh, absolutely.
They still consider it kindergarten, but they're doing what we did in first grade.
Absolutely.
So I thank you for this. These are some really great books. You had no budget. How did you create a national platform with only a computer and a phone?
You know what? It's easier than you think. There's tons of free resources out there. I was the queen of Google. So if you Google the word, you know, first go to Google, and then Google the word Google Alert, you can create keywords. So they're automatic leads that get sent right to your computer. So I took out a Google Alert. You know, most companies know to take out a Google Alert on your name and your company name and maybe your book name because you always want to see if somebody's talking about you. So it's a really simple thing that you can do, take out a Google Alert. But a lot of people aren't thinking about taking out Google Alerts on subject matter. So I took out a Google Alert on the word kindergarten. And every day Google would send me all these wonderful leads, all these reporters that had just done stories on kindergarten, and I could go in and post a comment, not buy me, buy me, buy me, buy me, but more to kind of establish myself as the expert to say, oh, yes, I loved your story. And one thing I want to add is these are the seven things that kids are being tested on within the first 4 weeks of kindergarten. And, you know, people would be all excited because it was something that they could take away.
Yeah.
And then my name was listed and, you know, author of, you know, co-author of Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten, and they could go check out the book. So it was a really subtle way to do that. A lot of bloggers, I was the queen of finding bloggers to see if they wanted to review my book. You know, and a lot of times these blog reviews are so priceless because, number one, they live forever. So if you just Google the title of my books, Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten, you'll see all of the reviews that are actually out there online. And some of these bloggers, oh my God, they're so priceless. They take pictures of their kids with the books, and there's a picture of, you know, a little boy making the letter L, showing him the difference between left and right, and you know, putting their hands on the left and right hands and with my book, and they're doing really interactive things, and it's such a testimony because these kids get it, these parents get it, and they're excited and they want to share it. So when other people are looking type in different keywords like Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten, a lot of times these blog posts will come up. And let's face it, they're much more engaging than going to my website and say, buy my book, where somebody
right.
can actually show these wonderful pictures of their kids being engaged with these books and putting really honest and genuine comments about my book, so that it's real. It just makes sense, and I don't know about you, but when I buy something, I don't want to go to the website because it's like a resume. You know, they're going to say great things. I want to know what everybody else thinks about it.
Right.
And
right.
so these are people that they can write whatever they want, and so I feel that they're truly 100% honest reviews.
Wow. So you plan it. You build the strategy. Market it. And I wanted to, my next question was, why is opening the lines of distribution so important?
Well, I learned that lesson really quick when I did my first TV show, and Barnes & Noble didn't have the book, and they were getting all these phone calls. And a lot of people will look at, just a website in the middle of nowhere and not really know much about it. They want, people want to buy from a reputable place. They want to buy from an Amazon. They want to buy from a Barnes & Noble. They want to buy from a Borders. Or many of these people already have accounts with them, so if you order so many, dollars, over $25, it's free shipping. So it was important for me. It's a quick lesson that I learned and one that I like to turn around and share, especially to authors that call me, oh, if Oprah could just see my book, I know it would be on the bestseller list. And I say, well, number one, you don't have your lines of distribution open yet, so the last thing you want is Oprah to see your book right now because you're not ready to go. You need
right.
to open those lines of distribution so that your product is available at multiple places, not just your website. If you look at Amazon as the competition, it really isn't, because there's so many things that Amazon does for me. They take out free paid ads on Google Ads. If you Google the word Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten, a lot of times they'll take out a sponsored ad where I can't afford that, but they did it. Or if somebody Googles the word kindergarten, they'll list the top, 50 kindergarten books, of which my book will be in there. So it's kind of like these are free things that Amazon does for me without me even – I didn't even realize it until I started playing around with searching and trying to get my search engine optimization, meaning my site, Cedar Valley Publishing, at number one in Google and some of the other search engines. So it was really important for me to do that to gain credibility, because let's face it, how many times have you Googled something and you can't find it? And you're
yeah.
like, okay, don't know these people. So then are you willing to give them your hard-earned money if you can't find them? Well, number one, you can't find them, so how can you give them the money? And number two, when you eventually find them, you're like, I don't know. Even though it has the secure sale on the bottom, you just kind of want to see more chatter on it. So that's
right.
kind of why having those lines of distribution, having multiple chains, because you've got your loyal shoppers to Walmart, so they can go to walmart.com and buy the book. You've got your target.com people. You've got all these different people, so now you've got more avenues. More people can actually find you.
Wow. And you speak about Google a lot, which I totally understand. I'm in agreement with you. And could you explain what you mean by for someone to leave their Google footprint?
Absolutely. This is a term that I've kind of coined. I don't know if anybody else had thought of it, but Google footprint is real simple. It's how many records are out there on Google. So if you Google my name and you put Stacey Cannenberg in quotation marks, or if you Google one of the names of my books, you'll see instantly, just by Googling that in, you'll see how many records exist out there on Google. And let's face it, the more records, the more chances somebody finding you. So, for example, all of those blog reviews and all of those blog posts and all of those, reviews and all of those messages comments that I make other places that list my name, one of the amazing things that happened was I wasn't aware that I was actually branding the name Stacey Cannenberg more than anything else, because that's the one thing that all of the companies that I have in common have is my name. So I just recently had to go out and buy the domain name for StaceyCannenberg.com. It's under construction right now. But because when I did my Google footprint for Stacey Cannenberg was much, much bigger than anything else, even Cedar Valley Publishing, the names of my books. So therefore, by looking at your Google footprint, you can find, you know, what you need to brand. And I would say that for many authors, for many small businesses, you also want to brand yourself as the expert in being a small business or as the expert in being an author. So it's important to look at that as well, because many times the media will only interview you once on your book. And so you have to be creative, and if you can be an expert in parenting or if you can be an expert in education, you've got so many more opportunities to be credible and to be quoted over and over and over in the media.
Let's say someone's listening and they want to start a business, but they have no idea where to start. What would you say to them?
Well, the very first thing that I would recommend that they do is make sure it's something that they really, really love. And really sit down and start listing the things that you love to do. You know, do you love to cook? Well, gosh, there might be a business right there. In fact, I have a lady, because I run four businesses from home, I was trying to figure out how I could do different things. And a lady was coming to my house to see if she could clean for me. And I was interviewing her, and I could tell cleaning really wasn't her passion. And I said, well, you know, Brenda, if I could give you one job and it's your dream job, what would it be? And she goes, you know, I love to cook. I go, great, you're hired. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And she had been telling me how she loves to cook fish and venison. And my husband's a big hunter, and her husband's a hunter. And I said, I have a freezer full of game downstairs that I, you know, I make the same seven recipes, and after a while we get really sick of them. So she said, I'd love to do it. So literally every week she comes on Tuesday and drops off three made-from-scratch, really healthy meals. We've actually lost weight. And it's done. I'm a minute and 30 seconds away from a gourmet meal. So she's happy, and now this has become a business for her. I've actually given her a couple other people that she cooks for that are like me, that run multiple businesses from home and are needing to free up that time. So it's a complete win-win. It's cost-effective. She saves me time, energy, effort, shopping. So I only have to go in for the staples like bread, milk, fruit, you know, veggies, and I'm done. And my grocery bill is much less, as well as, you know, I think I pay her like $90 a week for all my food and all my shopping and cooking it for me. So for me, it's like a complete win-win. So ask yourself, what's your passion? What do you love to do? And don't be afraid. Maybe you like to take photos. Well, great. There's an opportunity. You could go work in, or you can actually start a photo business. A lot of parents love to get their kids' pictures taken, but they want the spontaneous ones. So maybe you have somebody go for a walk in the fall leaves with you and take these spontaneous pictures of your family. Or maybe, you know, you love to garden. Well, maybe you need to contract with a bunch of families to say, look, I'll weed for you. And I actually have a kindergarten teacher who loves to garden, and she pulls my weeds. She pulls my mother-in-law's weeds. She pulls the weeds at my husband's business, my sister-in-law. So she now has a business pulling weeds, and she's in heaven. She loves to spend time in the garden, and it's a summer job for her. She's a kindergarten teacher, so she's off during the summer. So ask yourself, what is it that I really love to do? And then figure out a way to make it into a career that you can monetize.
You consult with large brands, as you mentioned earlier. What are some of those secrets that you tell them that you can share with entrepreneurs who want to be a brand someday?
You know what? There's so many things you can do. There's so many free sites out there. Here's my big tip of the day. If you're not aware of Peter Shankman, he's got a site called helpareporter.com. Oh, my gosh, he's amazing. He sends out three emails every day from reporters all across the country. I've seen Good Morning America. I've seen really big, the Wall Street Journal. I've seen some huge media outlets that are looking for experts or want to interview entrepreneurs. They want to, you know, ask companies, you know, how you're faring in this, you know, economic time right now is a big, you know, a big topic. Or the magazines that are looking, or the newspapers that are looking to review products for the holidays. These are free leads that you get three times times a day. My big brands are spending a lot of money with PR companies, but yet they also need to have somebody internally keeping an eye on increasing their Google footprint. And there's things that they can do internally by having just an intern watching Peter Shankman and sending it up to the PR company, because every brand seems to have an internal marketing team as well as an external marketing team. And I like to tell my brands that make sure you're doing a lot of this stuff internally as well, because you can't rely on somebody else to do all of your publicity for you, because no one knows your story as well as you do. So for me, it seems to be really credible when somebody becomes the voice of the company or the voice of the brand. Why are you the voice of the brand? Because you know the brand better than anybody, because you live and breathe the brand every day. And I think it's important to be involved in social networking. You know, have a presence on Twitter, have a presence on Facebook, have a presence on LinkedIn as a company, and have one person be that spokesperson, or because you might be this huge brand, have a multiple team be that spokesperson, because really word of mouth is where it's at, because as we both agreed, more and more people are tuning out advertising, so you have to be more creative in creating a legitimate conversation with your potential customers in a way that's not buy me, buy me, buy me.
So is like branding yourself as an expert in whatever field it is.
Absolutely. So let's say, for example, and I'll even say this publicly, I was on Twitter and there was a guy from Disney Travel or Disney Lines, and he was writing some pretty, not politically correct stuff. You know, he's picking sides on politics, which I don't recommend a brand to do, and he's picking, he's using some swear words, which I didn't think were appropriate. So, there's ways that you can do it wrong, and that's a situation where if I was the brand, I would probably pull his account from Twitter and say, I don't think you should be the voice of our brand. But then there's some ways to do it right. If you have a travel company, there's no reason why you can't select somebody from different areas within the travel company. So you have somebody talk to the moms. It's a mom that works for the travel company. You have somebody talk to the business owners, that might possibly have some connections to the business world that can talk in the business voice. And so it's a way to find yourself and the way to carve out your niche as the expert in different areas. And with a travel company, if you're trying to, gear travel to, families, then give us some great, tips on traveling and peak times and things to know. Like if you're going to Turks and Caicos and you're flying in and you land at the airport, you're not going to want to use the bathroom. So make sure they go to the bathroom on the plane. I mean, that's a
right.
tip that,
right,
that, everybody, every mom is going to remember. It's like, oh, this travel company told me this, but no one else did. That's something that's worth its weight in gold. So it's important that you kind of carve out your niche and figure out your voice and brand yourself as the expert in whatever that field would be, whether it's cooking or travel or, being the author or the subject matter of your book.
Wow. So it's not just, and I just want to reiterate that is not just promoting, but giving your audience something that they can take away.
And I think that is, I'm so glad you did reiterate that, because I think that's probably the most important takeaway from today, as long as that there's a takeaway. That people, I don't know about you, but I subscribe to all these free sites just for the takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what Joan Stewart at the Publicity Hound is talking about, finding new ways to get publicity or a different approach to a press release that I hadn't thought about, or really great examples of press releases and ones that absolutely fail. So it's just knowing all these really great sites to go to where I take away a takeaway. So why wouldn't I want to do the same thing for my customers, to give
right.
them a takeaway so that they feel like, gosh, Stacy just sent out this, I'm working on a blog right now about a site that, you know, different sites, different resources for parenting. So I always have stuff on my blog, but I'm always trying to find really good resources to pass along and say, oh my gosh, you need to check out this site, it's free. Or if you don't know about educationalworld.com, you need to check it out, some great resources on there. If you don't know about, you know, for my teachers, there's a whole new newsletter for Educational World that has grants. So if your school's trying to get some grant money, make sure somebody on, you know, from your school is signed up for that free newsletter, because there's all kinds of things that they can apply for.
I'm going to kind of group these two questions together because I kind of think that they go hand in hand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Networking and word of mouth are vital for any company. Why do you think both are so important and key to success?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. To me, they're one and the same, because I seem to, you know, network in many, many different ways. But it seems to me that networking and word of mouth have been absolutely vital for my business, because, number one, I didn't have any money. And if you want to advertise, it takes money. If you want to hire a publicist, it takes money. I thought really building my network and including teachers from all across the country, schools from all across the country, parents from all across the country was important. And I wanted to create something that people would want to share with somebody else. So it's really nice when people say, oh my gosh, I loved your book and I shared it with our school and they're so interested. I mean, that to me is like, you know, I want to cry. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Or, Stacy, you need to know this other educational author. She's doing something similar to you. You need to know each other. And I'm the firm believer of, you know, spreading that message through word of mouth. I get so many amazing contacts in the educational space. That's how I found many of my reps. They were either educational consultants representing other products that have called me, or they're stay-at-home moms that wanted to make some extra income and say, Stacy, I love your books. I'd love to show these to schools in my state. You know, is it something you're interested in? I'm like, well, hadn't thought of it, but it's a great idea. Let's do it. So it's just a matter of word of mouth and building that network. And I don't really look at competition. I mean, I look at anybody that's a publisher out there, I want to get to know, because I want to work together and I want to share leads with them and say, oh my gosh, did you try this? Or how did this work for you? Or I noticed you just took out an ad in this publication, was it worthwhile for you? Or did you apply for this? Or, you know, what do you think of this? Because it's so important to get feedback. And really what I find with these small publishers, we're all trying to do the same thing, and it's nice to have that little information or that little insight. And they're willing to share because, you know, they might be, you know, their subject matter might be totally different. Or yet many of my really good friends, we're all in education, but we all have a different vertical. So we like to share that information. It's like, oh, you're looking for a speaker? Oh my gosh, you need to know Kathy Miller. She's fabulous. Or you need to know Bev from the Learning Props program. Or, oh, have you checked out Barbara from Bentivo if you're looking for another Spanish bilingual program? Or, oh, what about Boca Bath? What a great program for other English, Spanish kids, English as a second language kids, to learn English and Spanish, and vice versa for the English learning kids that want to learn Spanish. Check out Boca Bath, a great program. So it's like we all work together, because I don't know about you, but when I go and I'm, you know, when I was a mom for the first time, I didn't buy one book on parenting. I bought multiple books on parenting. The same with when we look at our library for my kids when they were little. I didn't just buy one children's book. I bought multiple children's books. And a really quick takeaway, if you've got anybody that's got a baby shower coming up, this was done for me. But they, on the invitation, they said, bring a little book. And so, you know, that first baby shower, I had 70 books in my child's library, and they wrote little clever things like, to baby Cannenberg, you know. And so my kids look at that now, and they laugh, baby Cannenberg. They didn't know it was going to be a Heidi or a Megan. And, you know, they think it's really funny, but it's a great way to share, great way to share that moment, and it lives forever because these books are fabulous. And that's how we built our library.
I have to ask, being a wife, mother, four companies, how do you balance it?
You know what? It all goes back to network, and it all goes back to not being afraid to outsource. So I've really gotten good at, and my husband was the king of this because he's a small business owner, and he's always been, he's the king of outsourcing. You know, within his company, he always says, you know what, if we can't do it cost effective, then we're going to outsource it. And so when I started my business and, you know, the cleaning got to be a problem and he couldn't help out, and he just looked at me and said, honey, I have a cleaning lady that comes to my company to clean because I can't keep up with it. Why wouldn't you want to do the same? It's an expense to you, so why don't you do the same? Hire a cleaning lady. Then we don't need to talk about it. We don't need to fight about it. When you look at what you're spending over the long haul, it's a no-brainer. So, you know, when you look at it that way, outsourcing, okay, so I started to sit down and go, okay, what are the things I love to do and what are the things I hate to do? Okay, I don't like to cook, so I found Brenda. I didn't like to clean, so I've got Deanna. I don't like to weed the garden, so I've got Lynn, my kindergarten teacher in the summer. My husband didn't like to mow the lawn, so he's got a stay-at-home dad that mows his lawn, our lawn, my mother-in-law's lawn, my sister-in-law's lawn. So we're creating all these little micro businesses for our little network. So many times, a really great teacher friend of mine called me and said, oh my gosh, Stacey, I've got these twins now, they're little, I'm trying to figure out a way to, I can cut back on hours, but I need a little extra money. And I said, well, start a tutoring service. I said, well, instead of sending my kids to summer school this summer, let's start a tutoring service, and you come in 2 days a week, and we'll specifically work on concepts that I can utilize from my second grade book and my third grade book and my fourth grade book. And you teach them the way you want to teach it, and we'll start writing it that way. So my kids don't even know it, but the tutor that they have in has got an ultimate goal in helping us write Let's Get Ready for Second Grade and Let's Get Ready for Third Grade and Let's Get Ready for Fourth Grade, because she's tutoring a second grader and a fourth grader. And who better to help me write the books than my second and fourth grader who've just been there?
Right.
So it kind of is a win-win. And then I've got another teacher that helps me. I've got a bunch of teachers that also are editors for me. And I actually hand their name out over and over to different authors. So I've got all these little micro businesses going on. So for me, it's about what I love to do and what I don't like to do, and I start to outsource the stuff I don't like to do. And Brenda, the lady that cooks for me, is now comes in once a week on Thursdays, and she spends 3 hours. She either folds laundry for me or organizes a closet or decorates for me. So the kids came home a couple weeks ago to all these cobwebs everywhere in my house that were decorated for Halloween, and it was a win-win. I mean, those 3 hours that I paid her to be at my house to see my kids walk in and see this spooky house, and then they had to put the spiders on and, you know, the bats up around the cobwebs, was priceless. And it's something that I didn't have the time to do. Brenda was in heaven, and now, you know, she's been able to take her skills and do it for somebody else. She's going to be doing a garage sale for me this summer because that's something, too big of a project I don't have time to do. So find those things that you love to do and do it for somebody else. And then if you're like me, who's running four companies, I just made a list of the things that I hate to do.
Now
I look at a way to outsource them and make it cost effective, though.
Right, and that's what I was going to ask, like for those who are starting all these projects and don't have the funding to hire help, how would they, should they focus on one project at a time, or?
You know, it's funny though, because the best thing you can do is network with somebody else that's in the same boat. So let's say
okay.
You find two mom entrepreneurs. One's a queen at the internet. She like gets it. You know, she understands search engine optimization. Maybe she even has some web design experience. Okay, then you've got the other one who's a queen at QuickBooks and knows how to balance it all. And then maybe you guys have another friend. See, the concept is, if you work within a network and build up a network of maybe three or four mom entrepreneurs, and then you barter services back and forth.
Yeah.
Maybe one of you, you know, what can we do, you know, and let's face it, a lot of the reason you're starting these companies is because it becomes your passion. So my kids will laugh at me and go, like last night, you know, they could hear me typing at 2 in the morning. They're like, Mom, we could hear you typing really late at night. What, you know, what time was it? And I said, well, I woke up at around 2, and I was like wide awake. So I came in, and I worked from 2 to 4, and then I went right back to bed, and I woke up with them when they got up. And the kids are like, you know, you know, Mom, who are you emailing at 2 in the morning? I said, you know, there was a group of us actually last night emailing at 2 in the morning. You'd be surprised. There are a bunch of other mom entrepreneurs. You know, one of the kids was up 6, so she was emailing me. And, you know, just, hey, I've got a question on this. What do you think about this? You know, and so the network is key. So if you don't know of anybody that starts a business, just go to Twitter Moms and find the group of moms that have businesses on Twitter. Twitter's a micro, just Google the word Twitter, you'll find it. Join Twitter, and there's, you know, the Mom Entrepreneur group that I absolutely love, which I know you're a part of too.
Yeah.
Google the Mom Entrepreneur group and join it, because both Vaughn and I are parts of that as well. And Tracy from the Mom Entrepreneur just wrote a wonderful blog post, it was a series on how to use Twitter and how to meet other mom businesses. And there's so many other resources other than, you know, the Mom Entrepreneur group, but I love that one. You know, there's the Home-Based Working Mom group. You know, there's just a gazillion of them. And if you're looking for jobs, there's, you know, HireMyMom.com and Beyond Motherhood and all these wonderful sites that show legitimate work at home, you know, jobs available. Virtual assistants are huge. I use numerous virtual assistants that are all over the United States. I use a lady from New York. I use my web designers from Texas, and, you know, we all work virtually. So it's kind of fun that I emailed her last night and said, hey, I need some help on my website. I got this question. You know, here she was at 11 o'clock at night last night emailing me back. You know, that's unheard of in the business world. So they quit at 5 o'clock. So it's kind of nice to be in this little niche network of other moms that are finding their passion. They're up at 2 o'clock because they love it so much. I don't look at it as a chore. I really want to do this.
Yeah, and I'm up at that time, too, I want to add in, too, because the house is quiet.
Exactly.
The house is quiet.
And I talk to a lot of people that are trying to write a book, and I'm like, look, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep, get up and start writing, and then go back to bed. And, you know, for me, it works in my schedule, and I don't feel sleep-deprived at all, because then I'm sleeping in with them rather than getting up early anyway.
Yeah.
So that schedule works for me, and 2 o'clock was always the time that I was feeding one of them anyway, or 2 o'clock always seems to be the time that one of them was sick, and it just seemed like that was my biological time that I would get up anyway, and then I was always up for a little bit, and then I'd fall back asleep. So now I've turned it into productive work, and, you know, and then when I'm tired, I go to bed, and the minute my head hits the pillow, I'm out.
Yeah, and it's hard to rest when you're driven or passionate about something. Who inspired you along the way?
There were so many amazing entrepreneurs. Well, first off, I would not be here without Oprah and her series of shows. And I bless her. And so many of us mom entrepreneurs out here that have taken her shows and have really followed her advice. And, you know, there's going to be obstacles. And Oprah always says, look at it as an obstacle, as an opportunity. And she was so right, so incredibly right. You know, my husband, my family, my kids, they were so inspirational for me when I first started. My husband gave me this crystal clear clock back in 2004, and he engraved Cedar Valley Publishing on it. And he coined this little phrase, and on the clock he wrote, "The dream is clear, to believe is the reward." And so whenever I was having a bad day, or, you know, I was thinking, oh, this seems too hard, I don't know if I can do this, I'd look at that clock and I'd stare at it. And, you know, he believed so much in me that he was willing to take money from some of our investments, some of the kids' college fund, to invest in my original investment for Cedar Valley Publishing. And he always knew I was going to start a business from home. And when we were building our house, we made room for an office because he always knew. So it was like he so believed in me, and he's been, you know, every step of the way, my biggest cheerleader, and, you know, he's always, it's never, nothing surprises him anymore, so he's always been really like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. And so I, you know, Stacy DeBras from Mom Central, all my Mom Central friends, Allison Rhodes, the safety mom, Barb Dean, Nurse Barb, Kathy Peterson, the craft guru, who's got her own show on The Balancing Act on cable and does some work for HGTV, Hannah Keeley, the Total Mom, who's got a new show coming out as well, so on cable. It's just all these amazing women that that have walked this path and are walking this path inspire me on a daily basis. You know, finding that, you know, I'm not alone. There are many moms that are running multiple companies from home around their kids' schedule. And
yeah.
It's like the minute we talk, we bond. You know, we get it. You know, I understand how hard it is to, you know, you have to make sacrifices. And the fact that my kids think it's absolutely hilarious that I'm writing a Spanish book, but I don't speak the language or write the language. It actually had my 7-year-old say during an interview once, you know, anybody can do anything as long as they put their mind to it. Because, you know, look at my mom. She doesn't know Spanish. Duh, you just hire a translator and see, you can write a book.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I'm empowering them. They look at this company as being, you know, they answer the phone. You know, so let's face it, if somebody calls Cedar Valley Publishing someday, it happens all the time. Heidi will sometimes answer it. Cedar Valley Publishing, this is Stacy's adorable older daughter, Heidi. And I mean, they're very good at taking messages. They want to take over the company. And, you know, they're already talking about books that they want us to write because it's part of it. And they have done a book signing with me, and they felt very, because, you know, many of the things in the kindergarten book were their ideas.
Yeah.
Many of the changes in there were their ideas. Linda's daughter came up with the good idea with the glasses. You know, when you look at the book, you can see her, you know. So, you know, my kids, certain word changes were changed. Hide the Hippo was another idea from another friend. All these ideas were from a culmination of all these people that inspired me every step of the way. And I tried to put it all into one book and into one brand. And so for me, it's just every mom entrepreneur out there is an inspiration to me. And that goes to show they're out there. So find them and network with them and build up your own network and work through word of mouth to spread your mission on what you're doing.
Wow. I wanted to say before we go, in the Let's Get Ready first grade series, there's a one of the kids' name is Sam.
Yeah.
And you give a special dedication to him on the back of the book. Could you tell us a little bit about Sam?
Sam Mayer is the most amazing little boy. I found out about Sam through our local newspaper. The lady that works for the Ozaki Press, Carol Palmadet, writes the most amazing stories. And so I've met a lot of the people for my books, or, you know, people that I've networked with locally through Carol, through her great, she's got a weekly newspaper, and she writes a really fabulous special interest story every week. And it seems like I know that some of them are my dearest friends. Well, there was a story in the paper about Sam and how amazing he was, because even though he had Down syndrome, he was able to read at age 3. He'd learned his alphabet, his colors, to count to 10. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, he's proof that really anything is possible as long as you try really hard. And his mom, Sue, has worked really hard through the National Association of Learning Disabilities and has a chapter here in Wisconsin, and we've become really good friends. In fact, Brenda cooks for Sue and Sam, because Sam is under such a special diet. Sue cooks for Sam, but the other members of the family, it was hard to cook 2 different meals every day. So Brenda cooks for the rest of the family, and we've gotten to be really close friends. But Sam is such an inspiration because he does have a learning disability, and I wanted to show that I wanted other kids to see that, you know, this is Sam's face, and I want you to accept Sam because he is amazing. I was very thrilled when Sue Mayer and a group of friends from Port Washington started a fundraising effort to create a playground called Possibility Playground, and they raised $450,000 so that
wow.
any child with a special needs, whether blind, whether a dwarf, which I have a really dear friend who's got a little dwarf, Kate, who's absolutely adorable, and so all these special kids are special. Every child's special. It doesn't matter if they've got a learning disability or a special disability or if they're born
right.
a little different. They're
right.
all special. So here's this playground that we've raised this money for in Port Washington, and it was such a neat experience to watch this happen. And I wanted to give Sue some kudos for everything that she's done to promote children with learning disabilities, especially, you know, Down syndrome and autism and Asperger's, all those, you know, things that we're learning more and more about. And she's become a resource to me. When I come across a family that's got a special needs situation, I always put them in touch with Sue because she's kind of my go-to person on special needs. And, you know, she's such a great advocate, and she can give these parents direction. And, you know, she knows how it is to work within the school with a child with special needs, as I know you know.
Yeah.
And you're another great resource for that as well. Because you do need that network. You need that network, especially when everything's great, but then when you have some problems as well, because that network is who's going to help you get through, and they're going to help you be able to talk to your school and help you talk to your PTA and help you demand special attention to whatever it is that your child needs. Or if there's some bullying going on the bus, they need to step up to the plate as a team to come into, you know, with you to the school board and say, we need cameras on the bus. These kindergarten kids are being bullied by older kids. That's not acceptable. And boom. Because a bunch of parents came to our school. That's exactly what happened. Within a week, they had cameras on the bus, end of story. So it's a matter of building that community through word of mouth and really spreading your message out there to kind of galvanize people to want to work with you and empower themselves to be on your team to kind of spread your message.
Wow. And I wanted to also point out that 10% of profits will go towards will be donated to charitable organizations.
Right. Yeah, Kids in Need Foundation, schools all across the country, the Hurricane Katrina kids, you know, a lot of the tornadoes. I love to donate back to schools in this country as well as Honduras, as well as China, Korea, Russia. These books are everywhere. It's kind of fun. They've got this now global presence. I think we're in something like 37 countries where we've donated some books, as well as all across the United States. So it's a really neat experience, and it's fun when I do contests now when people start trying to win the books on blogs. And, you know, I was just on a blog not that long ago. They had 75 entries, and of the 75 entries, only like 25 of them had never heard of the books. So when you're seeing people go, oh, I've always wanted these, oh, our school carries these books, you're starting to realize, gosh, you know what, I am creating a brand, because you know, of these 75 people, 50 of them already knew my name. So it's kind of, you know, and if I keep doing that every year and it keeps continuing to grow, there's no reason why we can't be a brand.
Where can people go, get the books, and find out more information about all the projects that you do?
You know what, I'm probably most active on the Cedar Valley Publishing site. So if you go to www.cedarvalleypublishing.com, I also have a blog, cedarvalleypublishing.com/blog, or you can go to the Cedar Valley Publishing site and click on my blog. I even give out my email. I'm Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at cedarvalleypublishing.com. If you think you got an idea, you want to bounce it off somebody, I'm always willing to talk. I'd love to really help others, and chances are you tell me the industry and I can probably give you 5 or 6 really great contacts, people that you need to meet and know within that field.
Wow. I wanted to say this was very informative to me. I'm really inspired by you, and I thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your information and all that you do for children and moms.
Well, and I have to give you a shout out right back, because you are amazing as well. I mean, I know your story, and you know, we got to network a little bit through the Mom Entrepreneur Group and through Shankman as well, Peter Shankman, helpareporter.com. And, you know, these types of shows just help people like me who always wants to do better and always is looking for that extra tip. So thank you to you for having shows like this that helps all of us.
Wow. Thank you. And you have a wonderful day, and I will be in touch.
Fabulous.
Thank you. Have a good day.
No matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you for listening.
Believe in myself. Yeah.